welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your anticipating and edge of his seat host, Freddie Wong.
Sure.
Once again, I have returned Will Campos to be a screenwriter.
I'm future dad, Matt Arnold, Ryan director. So Freddie and Will don't know what we're doing on today's story.
What's going on here, Matt?
Matt summoned us to the Story Break War Room, and he said, I've got a very special one that I've been wanting to do for the last episode I record before I become a daddy.
Yeah.
So he was like, I don't want to explain it. I'm going to explain it to you once we go. So Matt, take us away.
All right. So we'll see how this one goes. This is going to be a little bit different, but this is what I wanted from you guys. So,
okay.
For the listeners who may not know, I'm becoming a dad. My wife's due date is very, very soon. And, you know, God willing, everything will go safe and sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have a kid. And so actually, we've been recording a bunch of these in a row because I'll be gone for like probably like a month, month and a half or whatnot.
Yeah.
So this will be the last one. So what I was hoping we could do was this also combines with the fact that Freddie constantly says that's the easiest thing in the world.
Are we going to break a bedtime story for your daughter?
Yes. It's the easiest thing in the world to write a kid story. So I thought it would be fun.
I don't say that.
Yes, you did.
I don't say that.
You more than once, even like, we should write a kid's.
I've never said that at any rate.
Hold on, I need to
set the record straight. I think
Freddie's going to upload a video to the Rocket Jump channel called My Statement, and everyone's going to be like, did he grope somebody? What's going on? And it's just him talking about how he never said that kids' books are easy.
Okay.
Kids' books are hard as fuck.
Okay, I retract my statement.
Like, probably the hardest of all the books, because you can't just ramble. You can't just be like, oh, let me just do a little description of a thing for a while. Oh, I love this. And then have like a bunch of pages and then be like, oh, people are like, oh, the description of this book are really
okay,
good.
Kids
don't take any shit from nobody.
Okay, well, I retract my statement, Freddie. But yes, we'll see how hard it is because, yes, I would like to try in this hour to write a bedtime story for my daughter that I can read to her.
Whoa. Are we going to break the plot of the bedtime story?
I want to write it.
We're going to write the whole bedtime story.
I mean, it's going to be short, just very simple sentences. And
okay.
I thought the only thing that we have to play off of, because we don't know, I've not named my daughter yet.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, me and my wife call her Squishy.
Okay.
So we thought I was thinking the story should be about Squishy, which, you know, can make it kind of abstract. Is she like
a big
squishy ball of something?
Squishy.
But like, you know, the story of Squishy.
Now, here's one thing I want.
Squishy and the Big Dumb Dad.
Well, no. Let me ask you this. Well, because you're going in the same direction that I am, the same energy. Do our listeners know of Monster Matt?
Squishy and Monster Matt?
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Monster.
Everyone, gather around. Get close. Turn it up and get close. Get close. We're gonna tell you a little story about Matt Arnold.
Once upon a time, back before everyone discovered that Monster Energy drink killed children, they sponsored a little show called Video Game High School. And they sent us a bunch of monster-themed swag, like a hat and a hoodie and, like, fucking gloves. I don't know.
And on top of that, by the way, a monster-branded refrigerator.
Yeah, with all free monster.
Stocked with the entire cornucopia of Monster Energy drink offerings. Did you know that beyond just normal green Monster, there's also, like...
There's Monster Rehab, Tea Plus Lemonade.
Yeah, that was the most popular one.
Which is the best one.
It was like a Monster Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, they had... Yep.
So like,
and they had, like, Monster juice drinks.
It was like
Arnold
Palmer meets Mike Tyson.
They had like Monster juice. So it was like, do you want to have your orange juice in the morning, but it fucking kill you by the end of the day? Like, here's, I think it's called Monster Chaos or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, we all lived off of that.
Very masculine.
We lived off of it. And then, but occasionally Matt would put on all of the Monster swag.
every single stitch of it.
And then he'd load up his pockets with Monster Energy drink.
The shorts, the fucking hoodie, the hat.
Benji had a big fake gold chain.
Yeah.
So I would put that on too.
And Matt would become Monster Matt, and his whole personality would change.
It was a joy.
All right. Okay. This is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. And there's a lot of pressure because this is the most important audience of all time. All right. I want to start with a question for Freddie. Freddie, what do you think? Like, what is our intent? Like, because children's stories convey a moral. And like, this is like,
That's true.
And this is a bespoke story.
Bespoke.
So this is like, you know, it always makes me like, one of the things I love about Bambi is that I think Bambi is like the perfect, like, you're a baby, welcome to Earth kind of movie. Like, because it's like, it starts with the birth of Bambi.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the whole movie is basically an introduction to what life is about. It's like, hey, here's your mom. Here's your friends. This is what death is. Like, here's the forest.
Here's your mom. She's dead.
She's fucking dead. you're gonna have to grow up. Here's kind of what love is about. Like, yeah. You know, like the here's fighting. Like, you know, like it's the it, but it is to me like it's presented in this very gentle way that like I think there's a reason like for so many people Bambi's one of the first movies you ever see because it is like a user guide to human existence for a child.
Yes.
Well, okay, Matt.
Yeah.
For what kind of story are you looking for? Are you looking for a put your baby down? To sleep story or like a I want to make sure my little girl learned like grows up right story.
I think it's a little girl grows up right story. I think it's like a little adventure. I definitely think of it as like a little adventure.
Okay, little adventure. All right.
Squishy's Adventure.
Yeah.
All right. Squishy sounds like a good name for an octopus. I'm going to put that out there.
You know, picking, I think that's going to be helpful. It's just like kind of picking something.
Yeah, sea creatures.
We're gonna creatures sea creatures. Sea creatures fun. A little sea creature.
Squishy the octopus.
Maybe Squishy the octopus has to go on land or something. Like jump out in the outside world.
Then we can backdoor some thoughts about Darwinism and evolution in there to make sure that the kid grows up right.
Squishy the octopus got vaccinated first before going out into the big wide world. Okay.
There were no fish for Squishy to eat because of overfishing. Squishy lives in the Pacific garbage patch.
So maybe Squishy the octopus is made fun of, and then she finds out it's because she's not an octopus, she's a squid, and all the octopuses were making fun of her. At the end, they're like,
"Okay,
that seems like a backdoor way of telling her that she's not your kid."
So here's the other thing we could do is just rip off the plot of The Ugly Duckling, but it's a squid who thinks it's an octopus.
Well, let's talk
or
about
an octopus who thinks it's a squid because squids aren't squishy. Right?
Yeah.
Squids have like a shell, don't they?
Oh, that's true. And so they call her Squishy because she's all squishy.
That's why they call her Squishy.
Okay.
And so she's got to find her octopus
so you
family.
So you have... That does seem to imply that this is not your kid. And
no, but this is better than it's the big squishy dad and the squishy mom that she finds at the end. You know?
Sure.
It's not like... It's not... when parents read their children The Ugly Duckling, the moral isn't, I am not your father.
Can we talk about... So there's two kind of...
If anything, it's a moral about the importance of family and like being with the people that you're... I mean, I guess
being yourself.
I guess it's a little like anti-adoption, which is...
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
No, Ugly Duckling is just about being yourself, that you're beautiful deep down, no matter if you're different than
everybody else. And that's a good moral to teach someone.
That's,
right?
That's a good moral, yeah. So let me talk... So there's Ugly Duckling. There's sort of two parables in the you are unique kind of category. And I would say it's Ugly Duckling. And if you remember this story, The Rainbow Fish, you remember this one?
I never read Rainbow Fish, but I've heard of Rainbow Fish.
I've read it. I don't remember it. It was
The Rainbow Fish. The Rainbow Fish was a big one because it featured incredible printing techniques, which allowed the scales of the fish to glow
and they looked
pearlescent. It was just brilliant printing technology there being used. But it was about this fish that got made fun of because he had all these rainbow scales, and it was like the uniqueness of it. And the shitty fish classmates, I guess, TLDR, the rainbow fish ends with the fish giving away one of its scales to all of its friends, so everyone has a little piece of that.
Well, it's like 7 pounds, and then the fish dies.
Yeah, so, I mean, like on one hand, you're like, oh, wow, it's like about sharing. On the other hand, it's a little bit like, so sacrifice what makes you unique to appease for the group or something. I don't know, it's a little bit
like The Giving Tree.
Sounds a little bit like communism, am I right?
Okay, so we've got Squishy the Octopus.
Oh, and then also Matt, in the political spectrum, are you looking for like left leaning, right leaning, libertarian? Like where are we in terms
of
like the politics?
I've been reading a book about justice, and like it just got to the part about Immanuel Kant, so we could make this a story about the moral misanthrope. And Squishy starts out as someone who likes doing good for other people, but she only likes doing good for other people because it brings her pleasure. And then by the end, her love of bringing good to the world is broken, but she still brings good to the world because it's the right thing to do,
even though
she hates everybody.
That's
and that's the truly moral act.
That's good. And what you could do
isn't
is
Immanuel
also
Kant the one that said that you're going to hell if you masturbate?
Did he?
Yeah. They talk about him a lot in Moral Tribes.
Oh, really?
He had some weird stuff.
Oh, he was like weird. He was anti-casual sex,
yeah.
I think was his thing. I don't think we need to get into whether casual sex is
in terms of the moral spectrum.
Squishy the Octopus learns that is a sex positive story.
Squishy the Octopus in You Do You. Whatever floats your boat.
Shit, Squishy the Octopus in Whatever Floats Your Boat is a pretty good title.
In Whatever Floats Your Boat. Okay, all right,
okay.
All right. This is intimidating.
Yeah,
this is like the most intimidating audience I've ever imagined.
That's why we're dancing around. It's like, hey, Matt, what if Squishy is an interactive story and she has to do the trolley problem every single time? Now, Squishy, there's going to be, you could kill 5 people.
Squishy.
Okay, so
ocean.
We want her to go on an adventure.
I'm sorry, the clock has been done been started.
Okay, because the fun thing about Squishy the Octopus going on land is that you could get fun stuff where, like, Squishy the Octopus, like, has to go into a store and they get shoes, but they only sell shoes in pairs. And she's like, but I have 8 feet. And she realizes that she's, like, out of place in the real world. And they're like, oh, don't worry, we'll help you. And
due
then they
to,
get,
like, limb mismanagement, essentially.
Well, she's different. She doesn't belong in...
Okay, I have a start.
Okay.
Hear me out. What if Squishy the Octopus lives in an aquarium in, like...
Monterey.
Jeff Bezos' office. Hear me out. She lives in, so it's like Squishy lives in this, okay, hear me out, hear me out, hear me out, hear me out, hear me out. Okay. Squishy lives in this tank, right? But she's in.
And she's like, how do I drive this
but
thing?
But she's in, it's like a dentist's office. You know, dentists always have an aquarium or whatever, so she's this octopus in this
very,
big aquarium.
Finding Nemo.
Like, but yeah, it's like reverse Finding Nemo, hear me out, but she grew up in this aquarium, and she was the only fish in the aquarium, and she saw all the humans through the window, so she thought she was a human like them. But one day, the dentist's office shut down because he got shut down because of the
health code violations.
The overbearing government.
Yeah. There we go. Government regulations forced this small business.
But so they left, but they forgot Squishy. They left Squishy behind. And then so Squishy has to go on an adventure where she leaves the tank and then goes to find her family again. But then as she goes to find her family, she discovers a real family in the ocean. I don't know. Not, it was first idea out the box. I'm crazy about
you
it.
You almost had me, and here's where I think you'd really turn it. So Squishy, they leave her behind, and now a band of robbers are trying to rob this dentist's office, and she has to use all manner of dental contraptions to defend the office. It's Home Alone.
Squishy the Octopus in The Castle Doctrine.
8 arms, 8 guns.
Okay.
And from the makers of Straw Dogs.
The most controversial children's book of the year.
Now, Squishy, there's many amendments, but the Second Amendment defends the other ones.
Squishy watches as her cuck of a father, Matt the Octopus, is unable to defend his family.
Okay, but here's what I could see about Squishy the Octopus that could be fun. Okay. Is I like the idea of Squishy.
As an octopus can hold 8 guns.
eight guns.
All right, it's all good.
I just imagine, I just think it'd be funny to see an octopus try to fit in the real world, and eventually she's going to realize, like, it'd be like the octopus wants to be
thing.
Like the humans or whatever,
yes.
And she's going to learn to be herself.
Okay. Just in my head, I'm just imagining, like, an octopus trying on a hat. And
yeah,
really
I think that'd be funny.
It's
pictures.
Really the ability to try on 8 hats.
Oh, so
the,
but
at
we're
the
going.
Time.
So we're going to a picture book.
But I would assume.
I think the cadence and language of a picture book feels like the kind of level that we're operating at.
Okay. All right. So Squishy the. Why does Squishy the Octopus try to blend in with humans?
Yes.
What happens? Why does she go up? Does she get lost? Oh, maybe it's this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little lesson. You're going to lesson while you teach your little girl. Fucking hold my hand while we're in public and don't wander off.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have Squishy's innately curious, right? Mm-hmm. And the octopus family is going up. I don't know why the... Like, you would do she gets lost. Like, she lets go of her daddy's hand. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe
for
a little
for some shiny bauble.
But she gets distracted and wanders off. And then she gets lost. And now she's trying to get home, right? Mm-hmm. Classic kid story. But then I'm like, why is she trying to blend in and stuff like that? I guess like that's I don't quite get.
Maybe
her parents get lost and she's got to go rescue her parents.
Got to rescue her parents.
Damn, this is hard.
How do we get this octopus?
Right now, this is all I wrote, by the way, which doesn't mean anything. I just wrote, Squishy is an octopus. She is Squishy. She has 8 legs. Octopus legs are called tentacles.
So I love the educational component.
Okay. All right.
Maybe
all
because she's so squishy, like what can...
What are problems and difficulties?
Yeah, maybe Squishy goes around, whatever Squishy is, it's an octopus or whatever, she goes around solving things because she's Squishy. Like, what's been...
Oh, like a helpful one.
Like, she's
so
helpful,
like,
Squishy.
So Squishy's like, you got something stuck in that drain clear? Turn off the fuse. Turn off the fuse. I'll go down there and I'll get it. But
like an old woman's like, this seat's too hard for me. She's like, don't worry, I'm Squishy. And then you do a picture of this old lady sitting on Squishy. She's like, thanks, you're really comfortable. And she's like, you're welcome, old lady. And then
you're
she
welcome.
Goes off.
This
then,
is mildly uncomfortable for me, but it's worth it to make sure that our future generation.
And then the thing Squishy doesn't like about herself, she realizes is helpful to like the, like she does like what is useful,
oh,
like what she could have because she's Squishy.
Yeah, I like that.
Like she sees like an old man sleeping on a bench and then
a lot
she
of
puts,
old people.
It's mostly just, she's a pillow.
She's a pillow.
So she's a pillow, right?
Or like someone, they need someone to fit through something, so she squishes herself through it.
Squishes herself through.
And by the way, this is like a children's book. That, you know, you can be a little bit silly with it and be kind of, you know.
Well, yeah.
Like it's like a blind man who's been in prison for his whole life has never felt any texture harder than the stone upon which he sleeps. And he's like, I must feel a texture beyond this hard slate and granite. And Squishy's like, I can help with that. And then the guy's like, indeed, there is other more textures in this world. Perhaps life is worth living. That's one guy that, right? That's a character.
Have you read, just as a good, this is a good children's book that I got. Have you read the, like Noid Penguin or whatever?
The Noid Penguin? Like the one delivers pizzas?
Wait,
the Noid Penguin?
No, he said Annoyed. The
Annoyed Penguin. Oh, I was like, Domino's had a penguin?
I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's like, I love you. But anyways, it's very funny. Here's a good example. Like in that one, all it is this penguin just shits on everything. Like they're like, hey, penguin, isn't it great today? He's like, oh, it's so cold. How can you think it's great? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, feel the beautiful water. He's like, oh, there's sharks in that water. This is horrible. And it's just like him complaining about everything. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to like the Northern Lights and there's this like walrus and he's like, and then it's like it's all very quick, like one sentences, and then there's this beautiful page of beautiful artwork, and it's this walrus being like, "Don't you understand like the meaning of life?" And it's like this whole breakdown about the positivity, and then just cuts to the penguin, and then the guy goes away, and then the last page is just a penguin be like, "That's all you have to say about any of this. This is annoying." It's the whole book.
That points out a good thing, which is that, like, okay, I'll talk about the character my dad entertained us with as a kid, who was Jojo the Bad Monkey.
Okay.
So Jojo the Bad Monkey was a sock monkey that was always trying to swindle me and my sister. He was like a trickster. He was like a trickster monkey,
a Loki,
right?
Of sorts.
Yeah, like a kind of a Loki. So like the classic Jojo, and he was like, "Hey, it's me, Jojo." Like it was like that kind of voice.
Yeah.
And Jojo's classic hustle was he would come up to you and be like, "Willie and Marty, I have this cupcake for you." And he'd have like a little imaginary cupcake, right? And he'd be like, "Ooh, a cupcake." And then you eat it. And he goes, "That was a poo-poo cupcake." And then he tricked you into eating a cupcake made out of poop, right?
So it was like a trickster.
And yeah. And it was also like he would try to get my sister to marry him and stuff like that. Like he was just like this silly little monkey that would like mess with you, right?
Yeah.
But like we loved, and like we would get so mad when Jojo would trick us, but we would beg my dad to bring Jojo out.
Yeah.
Like it was the fun of like getting tricked and like all that stuff in a safe space. So that's just like, I think the first mistake a lot of well-intentioned children's authors make is that the main character is boring, right? So it isn't just like squishy, like you're squishy just being this kind-hearted person who just does good stuff. Like what I like about that penguin is that penguin's got a point of view, right?
That's true.
Like as a kid,
right.
I relate to that penguin because like kids get grumpy, right?
Yeah.
Like kids are like, "Man, this sucks," right?
Yeah.
So it's like the like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
That's you know what? Well, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like I think we as adults get, you know, preoccupied with what's the message of something. It's like, because I remember like we didn't have a Squishy the Monkey, but my dad knew that my brother and I loved fart noises, and like he would basically just end our lives by just making fart noises, and we would just die. And it's just like, you know what, like sometimes the joy is inherent in the joy itself.
Okay, what
is all
if
I'm saying.
Squishy like her? It's just about because octopuses shoot ink, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, what if it's just like Squishy fucking shit up with her ink, like because she thinks it's hilarious?
Because she thinks it's hilarious.
It's like Squishy.
Oh no, that's great. It's like she goes to a modern art exhibit and she's like, "I think this needs a little Jackson Pollock." And then goes, and the guy's like, at first I was like, "Oh," and then the art critic is like, "My goodness, this is worth billions now. Who was this artist?" And Squishy's already moving on to the next thing.
Okay. I like the idea of...
Or like Squishy loves making messes. Like Squishy the messy octopus.
Oh, yes, Squishy the messy octopus. That's fun.
Okay.
Because
you know
octopus.
Those genes are getting passed down.
Yeah. If Squishy's anything like her father...
Hopefully she'll be more like her mother on that front.
On that particular front.
On most fronts. Okay. I search when do octopuses ink, and then... one of the first
it's Googles a defense was, response.
Does the octopus really, quote, fart ink?
Okay, yes. This
yes,
is like
this is
very good.
That yes.
Squishy loves farting ink.
Yes.
Like Squishy loves to fart, right? And then you would do like, okay, maybe this is the morality tale. Is Squishy like just thinks that squishing ink is the like farting ink is the funniest thing, and she goes around farting ink on everything, right? And then a predator shows up, like a shark, and she doesn't have any ink left to fart because she wasted it all squishing stuff around, and then she like goes around that she has to run away, and then like her dad has to her mom has to save her.
I have the arc, and now we can worry about writing it.
Yeah.
This is very good. It is she likes to make a mess, her parents get mad at her, and she gets mad, so she goes out of the ocean and she just makes a mess everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she finds herself lost and afraid, but the parents find her because she left ink along the whole way. She's like, "I'm lost and I'm alone. Like I shouldn't have inked so much. I'm so sad." And then it's like then the octopus family comes like, "How do you find me?" It's like, "We followed your ink trail."
We followed
your ink. You stinky little octopus.
Yeah, you messy little octopus. Yeah.
And then, yeah, because she also learns the use of the ink.
Yeah.
Right, because this shark is barreling straight at her, and then her parents come in and spray the ink, and they get out of there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, and they spray the ink. Like, okay.
It's like, how did you find me? We followed your mess. You messy little octopus.
We followed your trail of $1 million
and
art.
And she left because she thought that we didn't love her anymore.
She got mad.
It's like, just because you're messy doesn't mean we don't love you. You messy little octopus. Yeah, and then they find her.
And then the dad goes like, I literally just ink everywhere I go.
Because then we can worry about finding fun stuff. Because I feel like if this was a picture book, it'd be like, okay, her arc is essentially she finds out she can ink.
Meet Squishy.
It's really fun. Yeah, meet Squishy.
Loves to ink.
Loves to ink. Parents get mad at her for inking something important or whatever.
Yeah, goes on
her dad's Warhammer minifig collection. You fool, said Monster Matt. I was going to post those minifigs on the minifig subreddit. Now they're ruined.
Now no one will know how good I am at painting these figs.
And then she leaves the ocean.
Wait, really quick. It's a basket of figs.
Of figs that he's painting.
It's a basket of figs.
Of miniature figs.
Of small figs.
Okay, and then she goes out of the ocean and realizes how fun it is to squirt ink on stuff. And
yeah,
then it's just
right.
a bunch
then you
of
get like,
funny...
yeah, you got a little nice fun montage of like.
Now is the ocean... and I feel like the ocean is it should be just like a human world ocean, like a SpongeBob ocean, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's buses. There's art galleries in the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a whimsical place, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
you could also do like I get okay because I was like, well, things she could ink. Okay, James Cameron in his submarine for sure.
Why, that's Explorer James Cameron.
Yeah, so you've got, like, the human, like, the Jacques Cousteau, who, like, is about to take a photo of a beautiful, you know, undersea creature, and then
James
she
Cameron
inks
discovers,
the window, and he's like, no, my photo! And she's like, ah, this is hilarious.
Also, I think this is good. Kids love making a mess, and also, like, kids just like weird body stuff, so, like, the idea of, like, squirting stuff would be very funny.
If I was a little kid, I would think that was, like, I already thought farts were hilarious.
Yeah.
If the fart shot ink everywhere,
of course. The picture of, like, another kid making a sandcastle, and Squishy comes out of the ocean, and like sprays ink all over his sandcastle. He's walking away and the kid's crying. It's like Squishy the octopus sprayed the sandcastle. It's like, no! This is like this montage.
You probably
this
don't
little Squishy
them...
just making just chaos.
And not understanding the consequence
of
reaction.
Yeah, not understanding the consequence of reaction.
So, yeah, small point. I don't think you ever want to show that, like, she's causing other people to become like visible, like upset in a way that's not funny.
Yeah,
right?
You don't
want them to be like the kids actually devastated by it, but
no,
you
like,
do
like
James
perplexed.
Cameron like shaking his fist and being like, I have to make another Avatar
because of you, I'm going to make Avatar 5 and 6.
Matt's infant daughter is going to love these Avatar references.
James Cameron has a script for his Alien 3. Mm-hmm. He's like, finally, I will make Alien 3 and perhaps Terminator 3. And then Squishy comes and inks the script. He goes, well, then I guess I got to make more Avatar.
Okay, so we've got our character. We've got her want. She wants to make a big old mess.
Okay.
Nice. All right.
So how do we start this?
Okay, so once upon a time, right? Like in... Once upon a time...
In the deepest ocean.
I feel like that's probably like every children's author. Like, really, you're going to open with Once
Upon
a Time?
Once Upon a Time is the... Takes drag from cigarette. Dark and stormy night of children's
It's also
books.
Once Upon a Time implies that's like a story of old, as opposed to Squishy lives right now.
I feel like honestly most children's books start with meet main character.
Yeah. Like, right. Squishy is a messy little octopus, essentially.
All right, we going present tense, past tense...
Is, I think, a present tense for like
it's like C spot run.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
So this is Squishy. Squishy is an octopus.
Yeah. Well, like, give me like a somewhere in the deep blue sea.
And this is like baby kid. This is like very.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah. Well, this is. I know. But like, I want.
If you
this
give
work.
A mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for milk.
That's a complex sentence right there. You got a dependent clause. There's an if then. Like, come on, there's causality in that. Like,
imagine four balls,
four squids on the edge of a cliff.
Okay, I could see doing a little setting like
Here's the thing.
Oh,
Matt,
this
story has to last, right? It's got to work all the way through. It's got to be a worker from like here till four.
Do we want the story to rhyme?
No,
too complicated.
Yeah,
too complicated.
Not too complicated for this guy, but I am dragging two big old weights behind me. So I guess
this is like the scene in Naruto when it's like I've been wearing weights to slow my movements down this whole time.
You've only seen me at 1% of my power.
Okay. I feel like, is it that Squishy discovers she can make a mess?
Or does she already like making
a mess?
She
just already there. This is her status quo.
But I can
what
see...
What if this? Here we go. Okay. It starts with Squishy making a big old mess, and then she sees a shark coming at her, and then she gasps, and then it goes 3 weeks earlier.
Record scratch. Hey, it's Squishy. Bet you wonder how I got in this situation.
Could we go first person? Like... Hi, I'm Squishy. I guess that's weird. I guess most children's stories are.
Yeah, it's got to tell the story. Out.
All right.
Kids are figuring out their own identity at that moment. They don't need to be told they're an octopus.
It's true.
You are Squishy.
You are Squishy.
An octopus who lives under the sea. Okay. Your mission, make a big old mess.
Let's talk about the moment where she gets sad and leaves, and then we can work backwards from there and decide if it's just like
okay, all right,
she's starting
all right.
By
so I think
stuff.
Yeah, well, okay, so yes, it would be like she's having fun,
yes,
making ink, right?
Yeah.
And then her parents come home and the whole place is a mess,
yes.
Right? And they're like, Squishy, what did you do? You made a big old mess. All of that's not what ink is for.
Yeah.
So it's one day while she's alone,
yeah,
she feels a rumble in her tummy,
yes,
and then she shoots ink out her butt. And then she goes, whoa, that's
whoa.
Awesome.
And then she inks the whole place.
Yeah, and then she has a whole bunch of fun inking, right?
Yeah.
And then her parents come home.
Yeah.
And they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then, oh, maybe she
lies.
Maybe she runs away before they see
her. Oh, I
the
like
parents
that.
Are
I
so,
like that.
They're like, who made this mess in our house? Right? Because they don't understand. Like, yeah. My parents were very angry.
And then and then Ashley goes, Monster Matt, fucking again? And Matt goes, no, not this time.
It was my daughter. It's our 2-year-old. Blame her.
I was going to say, you could also do the thing like if she runs away while her parents can't see her, which you're really, that's like you're foreshadowing what the ink is actually for, which is for escaping from danger.
Ooh,
do you know what I mean?
I like that.
Like if she's in trouble, so she runs away.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, it's important, I think, in this part to, you want to say like the red couch was now inky black.
Yeah,
the
I
blue
like,
painting was, yeah, right.
I like that idea. She has so much fun inking, and then all of a sudden she looks. You would just do like, it's and the whole place is inked, and then she looks at what she caused, and then she thinks, yeah, I'm trying to think if she thinks, because she likes making the mess.
Yes. Could she be mad at her parents rather than like, is it, this is the other thing to me.
Yeah.
Is she ashamed of her inkingness, or is she just like, man, my parents suck. They don't get how cool I am for making the apartment better.
I think we should keep it simple. I think she should have a fun time, and she inks everything, and she thinks it's great. And then the parents are mad at her, and she's like, this is dumb. Inking's fun. How come they won't let me ink?
Yeah.
And then she goes and
look at all that. And then she goes up to her room and she sees, look at all this stuff out there I could ink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she goes inking.
Yeah.
And then she's lost and alone in this big, scary world.
Yes.
And then her parents find her.
And
like,
everything is covered in ink, so she doesn't know how to get home.
Yes. And we found you because you're so messy. We found you, and we still love you, even though you're a messy little octopus.
Okay. But that, for that to work, she has to think that her parents don't love her.
Yes. They're mad at her, and she's upset by that.
Yes.
She's like, my parents are mean. I don't like it here. I'm going to go have fun inking.
Okay, yes. I'm just trying to walk through the kid logic of this. I guess, like, you break the plate and your dad gets mad and you're like, oh my God, my parents hate me or whatever.
Yeah, this is a
right?
new emotion and this means that all previous emotions have been canceled.
Or it could be that my parents are dumb because they don't like inking and they go and then she's about to get eaten by a shark and the parents show up and she's like, my parents are pretty cool after all, essentially.
I like the deeper thing of, like, you know, we love you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, so the parents are going to be like, we love you. Even though
as opposed to Monster Matt's a hero.
I like we love you. I like we love you even though you're a messy little octopus. Because it's like implies like no matter what you are, like your parents will love you.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. Yes, I think in that case, she should discover inking. She's like, whoa, this is awesome. And she starts inking the place up. And then her parents get mad at her.
Yes. And then I think, okay, so here we go. Just to structure it out again from a moral arc, right? So she discovers this power, right? And she has fun making this big old mess, right? And she doesn't understand consequences, right? So because she doesn't understand consequences, she doesn't understand why her parents are mad at her and tell her to go to her room. So she's like, my parents are mean. And they don't like me. They're trying to be, they're being cruel to me. So I'm going to run away.
Yes.
Right? Look, there's a whole big wide world out there I can ink. Why am I stuck in here? And then she goes on this adventure and then she has a ton of fun inking things.
Yes.
Still not understanding the consequences of her actions.
Yes.
And then you would do, it is once the consequences become clear to her, she is alone. The entire world is inked. No one wants to help her get home.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think you do, there's the journey out, right?
Yeah,
which is she inks James Cameron and then she inks the boy with the sandcastle and she inks the city bus or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then once she gets lost, blah. She starts asking these people
and
for help.
Like, no, you. I'm too busy cleaning your ink.
It's. It would be like the like. Yeah. It's like I. It would be like the James Cameron be like, I'd love to help you, but your ink messed up my computer, which has the map on it, right? Like the bus would be like, we'd love to drive you home, but the bus is broken because it got gummed up with ink. The kid's like, I would love to help you, but the map I was painting on the ground got covered in ink, so you're lost,
right? Or I'm too busy fixing my whatever.
Your
right?
like, dumbass inking ruined everything, right? And then now she's like, oh no, that's why my parents were so upset with me.
It caused other people extra work or responsibility.
Yeah,
or
yeah, like I hurt other people and now I can't get home, right? And then she feels shame for what she did. And then that's when the predator shows up and it's like, oh no. And then she realizes she doesn't have any ink left. And then the parents show up and of course they still love her, right?
Okay.
Something like that.
It's getting there.
Okay.
It's getting there.
Intro Squishy. And then we have Squishy is playing in her octopus house, which is like a big, huge shell or something like that, right?
Octopus den.
Yeah,
it's in the
her
den.
Octopus den, right? And then she feels a weird rumble in her tummy, and she's bored, right? Yeah. Like she's playing with her toy, or she's just playing with her toys, right? She feels a rumble in her tummy, and then
her
ink,
tum-tum.
Ink her shoots out her butt.
Her tum-tum.
Squishy marvels at the power of ink, right?
Yeah.
It would almost be like she's trying to paint a painting, but she can't because you can't paint underwater.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. But like, and then, yes, she sees the ink, and she's like, whoa, this is so cool.
And then it's like that scene in Wall-E where he's like spraying the fire hydrant in space. She's like, woo! And she's like spraying ink all around the house and having a great time.
And I think what she likes is she likes turning things black.
Mm-hmm.
I think she likes turning things to a different color.
Yeah,
like she thinks that's so cool.
Yeah.
Right. So now it's like, look at all these colors in the house. Again, getting to your color theory. It's like, there's the color of mommy's favorite couch.
Yeah.
We would look better if it was black. Kablam. There's daddy's priceless Warhammer minifigs. Like, they'd be so cool if they were black as the night. Kazam. Ka-chow, right? Yeah. So then she goes on this inking spree. So I like that we get what it is. It's just like the color is the most beautiful thing she's ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? She's an artist.
And she's doing it. It's fun that she's having, again, it's like as a kid, it's just like the idea of having an effect on the world.
So have no agency on anything, and then you have an effect on the world. Okay, so let me write this down. Okay, so Squishy shoots ink. Squishy sees that ink turns things a beautiful inky black.
Yes.
And then she's like, I bet I could turn all sorts of stuff black with my ink.
Yes.
Then Squishy, we'll just write Squishy ink spree, right? And then I would do, you know, like, what, you know, like plain object, and then I would do, yes, she, it's something that her mom loves and then something that her dad loves, you know?
Yeah.
So something she likes, right?
Yeah.
Something she likes, something mom likes. Yeah. The trifecta.
Something she likes. Something her mom likes. Something her dad likes. And then her parents come home.
Yes.
If this is illustrated, if the last panel of them all at home is not Matt the octopus, like painstakingly repainting his dumb minifigs, then
this is about Squishy. This is not about Matt
the
background.
In the background. In the background. Squishy back at home.
You got arms to spare.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're playing with her with two arms and then you're repainting your minifig with the other arm and scrubbing the couch with another arm.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Her parents come home from the octopus grocery store.
From OctoCon, the octopus convention.
And then
from OctoCon.
And they scream, what happened to our beautiful house? And then Squishy gets scared and then inks it so they can't see her. And then she hears that her parents are mad at her and then she runs away.
Or you do the yell at her and send her to her. Squishy, go to your room.
Go to your room. You're a messy little octopus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Go to your room.
Who made this big old mess? And then they look and see, okay. All right. So Squishy. Yeah.
Mom Octopus is like, my beautiful couch.
Yeah, my beautiful couch.
It matched the carpets. Well, I guess it still matches the carpets.
My beautiful minifigs. There's no getting out of the fact that there's minifigs.
It's okay.
Sorry, what?
Can't it just be a chess set or something?
That would render chess impossible.
Because then it would be, shells and stuff. It's just like the minifigs under the... I'm just saying, like, in terms of painting this world, I don't believe octopuses are
okay, it's
minifigs.
Chess Hammer 40K.
But James Cameron shows up and they'll drive buses.
The fun of a chess set would be like, it would be shells, and then one of the shells, like, still has the hermit crab in and, like, walks away. He's like, I swear I moved to E4.
My beautiful chess set. Okay, all right.
Because now there's no white and black. They're like, which side was white?
What side was your Uncle Kasparov playing? No,
Bobby Fischer!
Storybreak listeners, I'd like to apologize for missing
the Bobby Fischer joke.
The underhanded
sounds
pitch.
Like you were searching for that Bobby Fischer joke. All right. Okay. Parents get mad and send Squishy up to her room.
Yes.
Squishy is sad that she got yelled at and angry.
But
that
then the
her
world
parents
outside beckons.
Don't understand.
And the world
and
outside
And then she
beckons,
sees, yes, yeah. She sees.
You could also do that. She's just mad that the first thing she did was ink her whole room. And then when she's stuck in her room, there's like, there's nothing more to ink in here. Like, I like that.
I hate just, this room. There's nothing more to
yeah,
ink.
I hate this room. It's already all black. I want to ink more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, my parents don't understand me. I need to go ink.
She meets a bunch of like crabs that are like rolling stones around, and they're like, oi, we've got a song about that.
Oh, yeah. I want to paint it black.
Oi, we dig what you're all about.
Oi, we dig your sound. Then maybe she sees a mischievous crab named Mick Crabber.
yes!
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay. So the room is already inked. She sees the whole wide world outside.
This is a book for dads and their kids.
Classic rock.
Classic rock.
Corny puns. All right. She sees...
Boys,
she,
we may have a New York Times bestseller on our hands.
All right. So she sees a whole wide world outside and decides to ink it.
Yes. Oh, okay. Just thinking ahead, because I was like, okay, what exactly? Because here could be the fun of it, is I think that it's also about, you find out what you are, your parents still love you, but it's also like how to use like your special talents.
Your powers for good.
So then it would be whatever little montage she has where she's just messing stuff up on the way back with her parents. Her parents, it's like, the kid was like, I wish these white sneakers were black. And somebody's like, my pen's out of ink. And it's like, she does, it's like her ink then is used for everything. And then they escape the shark right before they get home or something like that. It's like a little bit of like... It's like, see, your ink can be used for good.
Oh, I see. So it's help people out, lost. They find her, they help, and then we know what the ink is actually for, and then we get home.
We'll get there. All right. So to go through our first act, we introduce Squishy. She's playing in her octopus den. She feels a rumble in her tummy, and ink shoots out her butt.
Yeah.
She shoots ink everywhere. She sees the ink turn her room a beautiful inky black, right?
Yes.
She's like, I bet I could turn all sorts of stuff in this house black. Like,
yes.
Oh, man, this would be great. I could make everything inky black. So then she goes on this Squishy ink spree where she squishes her teddy bear, her teddy fish.
Her cuddlefish.
Nice.
C-U-D-D-L-E.
Yeah, very good. And then she, you know, her mother's, what's something Ashley likes? Like, what's an octopus version of, like an Ashley thing?
Like her
books?
She's knitting her books. Yeah, her books.
Okay,
are
yeah. Her
like,
mom's bookshelf. Now she can't read, right?
Yeah,
like classic, yeah. All right, so she hits the books, and then she hits the minifigs.
These books are too many colors.
What it should be actually is that it should be that she inks the book, she inks this, she inks the couch, and she inks mom and dad, and then just mom and dad are staring at ink on their face like, Squishy!
What have you done? My beautiful books!
My beautiful face, says the dad.
My beautiful face.
I like that she inks her parents as they're like, wow. She's just in such an ecstasy of inking.
An undersea tabloid reporter snaps a picture of her dad in blackface. Huge scandal. He loses his job at Fox and Friends.
Oh, God. Okay.
Fox and Friends being the next book where Squishy meets her
friend. Fox and Friends is the next book. All right, the sequel. We'll get there.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
So, and then they yell at Squishy and say, go to your room.
And then she's sad and mad at her parents, and she's bored in her room because she's already inked everything. And she's like, I want to go ink more.
Yeah,
and she
goes
off.
My stupid parents don't understand me. I'm an artist, and I need to create. Look at that whole beautiful world out there. It's a canvas waiting for me. I can't be stuck in this dead-end town. I've got dreams.
She inks all the stuff in the ocean. She goes on the beach. She inks stuff in the beach. She goes in the big city. She inks a bunch of stuff in the big city. And
yes,
then she inks so much, and then she's lost and home alone.
Do you want to just stay, by the way, do you want to just stay underwater and just...
No, I think that it's too much fun to have like an octopus like running around the city inking. Like,
okay, so James Cameron has to be early then, because James Cameron...
I would set the whole story underwater, right?
Like a city
underwater.
Yeah, like SpongeBob city.
Okay.
Yeah. She meets SpongeBob SquarePants and inks SpongeBob, and he's like, hey, I'm a popular character that you're going to love someday, and your dad's going to have to spend a whole bunch of money buying you stuff.
You really don't think it's fun to
see
I'll
get you back one day, Squishy.
You don't think it's fun seeing the octopus ink, like, it's also like
that. Like
idea.
What?
New York City, baby.
Yeah, she just, like, inks, I don't know, it's just like, it's...
Well, so the New
York
City allows
us...
stuff
about it is also that she feels like she's far away from home, like, she doesn't know where she... Like, it's such a clear, difference. Like, she, like, you see her journey, she goes the ocean, and she leaves, and then she wanders around, and then she's, like, stuck in a big scary city or whatever.
Okay, well, all right, yeah, and this is like, you can then pad the book out to be however long Random House needs it to be,
because
she goes all these different locations.
It's her inking montage where she goes farther and farther away from home.
Okay, yes, farther and...
Does she get to the moon?
And I think
she inks an astronaut on the moon.
NASA's like, this was the one footprint of Neil Armstrong. I mean, like, I'm in full kid mode, and the idea of an octopus flying into space and going to ink the moon, and everyone's like, and I was like,
where's
this
the moon go?
Eclipse? Where'd it
she,
go?
No, she inks the entire moon.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they can't find the moon anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, where does this, and this werewolf doesn't know when he's supposed to turn into a werewolf. Okay. All right. All right. All right. So she's farther and farther away from home, spraying ink all over the damn place. Yeah, you have the art museum for sure.
Yes, MoMA. And then, she's the Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you kidding? That's such a good panel. Is like it's full left to right pages, and it's like beautiful art. And then as you go left to right, it's just like this trail of ink starts appearing. And by the end, it's just like pure black, and then like the people are just like staring at it. I'll buy that one.
Yeah.
So she realizes she's lost and can't get back home. So trying to find her way back home, and now all the consequences for the stuff she inked is coming up. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like that, I can't help you. First of all, I can't help you because I'm mad at you, right? Yeah. And like I can't help you because the thing that you inked could have helped you, but like I have to clean up this mess or my boss will fire me, right? Like I have to, you know, like I can't drive the bus because you broke the bus. Like you covered my map in, you know, like, and I like that she's like, oh shit, like this mess I made had a consequence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a way to avoid her having to go backwards to see everybody again before her parents show up.
And you don't have to have her see everybody.
Yeah.
But I would do that. I like the idea that she realizes, shit, I need to get home.
Yes.
She doesn't know her way home. And then she's trying to get back home. And then her ink has caused a problem for her. And then that results in the true low point, which is I don't know how to get back home at all. And I'm completely
lost.
She
wouldn't go back to the Guggenheim. Right.
Example. Yeah. Because also, like, if the idea is that her parents find her because
it's the people she affects, right? She affects three per people, and then those three people are unable to help her.
Yes.
Right. Three characters, but then she can also, you know, she can be like at Central Park, and she inks like a squirrel, and the squirrel's like, this is a market improvement. You know, like she doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be necessarily.
Or maybe you do. Maybe it like climaxes with like somebody again. Like she's on a bus, and the bus driver kicks her out, and she goes. Like nobody likes squishy, like messy little squids or whatever. Like, I feel like the moment when they're lost, it's like because if she's going, sorry to be picky, but it's like if she's going backwards to, she's essentially on her way home. If she's going back along,
yeah,
the trail.
Yeah, but she is. So what? She doesn't realize.
No, but
it.
The fun of like her being like, you want to get to like the end of the journey. It feels like you want to be at the end, and then you're lost, and then you're stuck there at like the end of your adventure, and then the parents like had found her, as opposed to like she goes on the adventure and
comes
then she
back
starts walking
way.
Along the adventure, and then it's like.
I mean, I understand what you mean. I just like think you need her to process the consequences because on an emotional level, here's what I'm saying. Here's what
yeah,
I'm saying. Is on an emotional level, I want her to see, after having this realization, should I need to get home? Like, have her see some of the consequences of what she's done and understand it, right? And then she starts to realize that, you know, she caused a big problem by making such a big mess. And then it's like, in that moment, is like this moment of, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you want to process
that a little bit.
Well, why don't you just have the people affected by her follow her?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of a way to do it, like, yeah, without her going, because I think, kind of afraid, it's like, you don't have to go back through everybody. You can also make the last thing she does. Again, somebody's saying, like, nobody likes little messy octopuses or, like, because you did this, you're not going home. I'm just trying to think of a way to make it, like, a single...
Oh, okay. Then I would say that. I would say she realizes she needs to get home. She doesn't know the way home. And I would do... No one wants to help her go home because she made such a big mess.
Yes.
I would do... People are mad at her that she ruined everything by making a big mess. And then she's like, oh, no. If they hate me for making a big mess, my parents must hate me, too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't have a home anymore.
Yes.
And then you then... And so, yes. And then it's that fear is allayed when the parents show up.
Yes.
Right?
Maybe my parents are right. I'm a bad little octopus.
Yeah, or something like that. And then the parents show up. It's like, we followed your mess. Of course, we still love you, even though you're messy, you're octopus. Maybe you do on the way home. The dad picks up some, the parents pick up some art supplies. They pick up some big old blank canvases for her to spray with ink.
Oh, that's
fun. Do you know what I mean?
And
it's like, you can be an artist, you know? Like
that's
the, but
fun.
Like, so the moral here is like, it's great that you want to play with your crayons, but draw on the fucking paper, not the wall.
Yeah.
The last panel is definitely all of her work exhibited at the Guggenheim.
She's got a little octopus beret.
Okay.
No, that's the back cover. That's the back cover. Very good.
Very good.
Exactly. All right. I'm just trying to think of that turn at the end then. So she goes, where does she like?
My 2-year-old could do this, says the art critic. Monster Matt goes, my 2-year-old did.
Okay. So again, I find what's like the final, like, where is she? And then.
Oh, you totally do. She gets in trouble with the cops. Because then you do all of the messy people come up, and they're like, there she is. That's the messy octopus that ruined my bus. Yeah. That's the messy octopus that ruined my submarine. That's the messy octopus that ruined my sandcastle.
That's the messy octopus.
We don't like messy octopuses around like you around here. Like she's like, oh no, I'm in trouble. And then like, oh no, I'm a bad little octopus. And then kaboom, her parents show up and just ink the shit out of everybody and grab her and get out of there.
Let's get out of here, Squishy. How did you find me?
It, Squishy hits the fence.
Yeah. We followed the mess you made. Of course we love you.
Of course we love you.
Even if you run afoul of the police.
We got to get out of here because we just fucked up all Central Park. So let's go.
Or you could just do she runs away from everybody. She squirts a big ink to distract them and then she runs away. And then she runs off into a little sad corner and cries. Yeah. And then two shadows are over her and it's her parents. You mean like, we found you.
Yeah.
Like, let's go home.
Yes, let's go home.
That way the parents aren't complicit in like obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
Although like, Matt would obstruct justice for his family.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, we love you even though you're a messy little octopus.
Does the shark show up? Or it feels like we're at the end here.
Yeah, you don't really need a shark showing up.
No. Because the trouble is everyone's mad at her.
Yeah. Unless the cops are sharks.
There's two shark cops?
Yeah, they're shark cops.
Whoa, guys. New story break. Shark cops.
Shark cops.
This is for when Matt has a little boy.
Shark cops and trucks.
And they drive big trucks. Shark cops that drive trucks.
Shark cops and trucks. It's such a good title.
Guys, sometimes I wonder, am I a genius?
Shark cops and trucks.
They're the sharks that drive the trucks.
Also cops.
They're gonna jail all the liberal cucks.
Oh my god.
Of course, by the way, they definitely come out of the ocean. I'm just imagining like these like freaking losers on the beach and then just trucks just erupt out of the waves and just sharks
just crush sandcastles.
Boom. Oh, oh Squishy, man. I'm going to tell you, today's bedtime story is shark cops
and trucks. And trucks.
And trucks.
I love the implicit studio note fucking title. Yeah. Could we get trucks in here? Like, all right, shark cops and trucks.
Like, are they in trucks? No, it doesn't matter. Just shark cops and trucks. That's fine. We'll figure it out later.
It's just like a shark cop story, and then it just cuts to shots of trucks. Nothing to do with anything. Every episode involves trucks for some reason.
Shark cops and trucks.
Shark cups and trucks. Let's get back to Squishy and her adorable adventure.
Okay. So that's very good.
I'm so pumped about shark cops and trucks.
Yeah, I know. Damn.
I really twanged your banjo string, didn't it?
We'll work them in here as like, and then we could spin them off into their own story.
Because
you're going to tell the story, and then Squishy's going to be like, yeah, but I want to hear more about the shark cops with those trucks.
Oh, don't worry. We got that book, too.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We're going to start a line of story breaks children's books, Okay. You could, by the way, if you want to, you could get, we'll see. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you need, it seems weird not to do like them using the ink for the thing it's used for, like hiding from
sharks. Well, then she gets away from everyone when they're mad at her.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, there she is, officer. Like, they're like, we don't like, you know, like they're all mad at her and they're angry and she gets scared and shoots the ink and runs away.
Yeah. Okay. That's fun.
But I don't think we need to be like, this isn't a story about how actually you use your fucking art as an escape valve to fucking run away from your fears.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's okay. Parents find her. She's sorry for making a mess. She's sorry for being a bad little octopus. And she's like, no, you're not a bad little octopus. You're just a messy
one.
Just a messy one. Yeah.
Yes. I like that. You're not bad.
Being
you're just messy.
A bad little octopus.
That's what I tell myself every day.
And then they take her home.
They unveil that they brought it. Yeah, she has a canvas. Now you can show us all your inking.
Cool inks.
The back is not her stuff in the Guggenheim. It's actually just her at like, she's doing tattoos. It's just badass.
Yeah.
Like eight,
she's just
eight tentacles.
Smoking a cig with one tentacle, drinking a bourbon with the other, and then tattooing
six people at once, a
rough hewn sailor crew. I think we have, how much time do we have, Freddie?
Like 10-ish minutes.
I don't know that is enough time to write this entire story.
Well, to the degree that the audience deserves.
Yeah. Yes. So here's what I'm thinking. Why don't we call a little break here?
Okay.
And then when we come back, we will have
the story,
the full first draft of Squishy the Messy Little
Octopus. The way this is, we actually have like
we got five weeks
to write this.
It's a little bit like that. You know, it's like Interstellar, right? It's just a 2-minute break for you folks listening at home, 5 weeks for us.
Yes, when you come back, you'll look at photos of us and we'll have aged because you were on the title planet.
And he'll be like, Murph!
Murph! Murph, I'm in the books, Murph!
I'm in the books! Look at the library, Murph! Murph! Murph, I'm behind your copy of Finnegan's Wake! Murph!
Murph, I'm trapped in the books! Murph! I hate my son!
Dad,
Murph!
why don't you...
Murph!
I know what to do, Murph. I'll make some weird binary code. I hope you figure this shit out.
Murph!
Dad, Murph! Just write.
I made an escape room for you. Drive through the corn I planted real fast and solve this escape room to help me, Murph. I love that movie, actually.
Interstellar. Right. What if we just get your daughter a DVD copy of Interstellar?
Oh, that'd be good.
And that's it's all about how you're going to have to go into space one day.
It's like I say that. It'll take some time to write this, but I just like that. I think this is a very fun little story. I'm very happy we wrote a specific story for my future daughter. So thank you, guys.
This was an absolute pleasure, Matt.
We're going to take a quick little break. And when we come back, you will hear the world premiere of...
Shark trucks!
Shark cops and trucks!
Shark cops and trucks! Also featuring Squishy the Messy Little Octopus.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we're the hosts of Dr. Game Show, which is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, regardless of quality or content, with in-studio guests and callers from all over the world.
And you can win a custom magnet.
A custom magnet.
Subscribe now to make sure you get our next episode.
What's an example of a game, Manolo?
Pokemon or medication.
How do you play that?
You have to guess if something's a Pokemon name or medication.
Medication.
First time listener, if you want to listen to episode highlights and also know how to participate, follow Dr. Game Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We'd love to hear
from
you.
It's really fun.
For the whole family. We'll be every other Wednesday starting March 13th, and we're coming to Max Fun!
Snorlax.
Pokemon?
Yes.
Nice.
Hi, everybody. Story break. I'm here on the living room floor with a waking up Dorothy. We'll see if we can get through the story without her crying. No, not because of how poorly the story is written. I think it's very good. We don't quite have an octopus, but I do have a stuffed animal squid here. Hi, Dot. She's opening her eyes. She's looking at me. Say hi to everybody. That's her yawning. Okay. Dot, we used to call you Squishy when you were still in your mommy, and we still call you it occasionally, especially when you poop. So here's a little story that your dad and his story break uncles wrote for you. So here we go. Squishy, that's you, the octopus sighed on the floor. Squishy was bored. Bored, bored, bored. All of a sudden, her butt gave a rumble and a jet of black ink shot onto the wall. Wow, Squishy said. My ink is astounding. It made our boring old wall so pretty and black. I wonder what else my ink would look good on. She went splat, splat, splatted all over her red toy race car. And then she squirt, squirt, squirted over Mommy's green books. And she sprayed, sprayed, sprayed Daddy's checkered chessboard. And she laughed, laughed, laughed until her parents came home. Ah, Daddy said, my beautiful chessboard. Ah, Mommy said, my beautiful books. Ah! They both said, our beautiful home. Squishy, they shouted, go to your room. Squishy the octopus sulked in her bedroom. Squish was mad. Mad, mad, mad. Kind of like when you scream there, Squish, hi. Outside her window, a whole world awaited. There were creatures and colors in a big, shiny city. Gee, Squishy said, the world is inspiring. It's so full of things my ink would look great on. Too bad my parents just don't understand me. I understand you, Squishy. So she slip, slip, slipped over to the window, and then she sprang, sprang, sprang up onto the ledge. Then she swam, swam, swam out into the ocean. And then she searched, searched, searched for something to ink. And what did she do, Squish? Hi, Dot. Sorry, she's looking at me now. Hi. Well, Squish went on filmmaker's submarine, and then she went on a little boy's castle of sand. And then Squishy went on a big yellow school bus. And Squishy went all over the whole wide world. That's right, Squish. Kind of like when you poo everywhere. Squishy the octopus yawned in the city. Squishy was beat, beat, beat. Beat means tired, like you are right now. It was time to go home. But which way was home, she wondered. All the street signs were covered in ink. What did you do, Squish? You covered the street signs in ink. Oh dear, Squishy said. I'm lost in the city. Can anyone help me find my way home? But the filmmaker yelled, 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 you ruined my submarine. And the little boy cried, 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 you spoiled my sandcastle. And the bus driver roared, 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 you've gunked up me engine. And the whole city shouted, get out of here, you messy little octopus. Squishy wandered the ocean. Squishy was sad, sad, sad. Squishy just wanted to make the world pretty. She didn't know she was making a mess. Oh no, Squishy sobbed. I'm a bad little octopus. Nobody loves me, not even mommy or daddy. But just then two voices said, Squishy, we found you. And Squishy looked up and saw her mommy and dad. How did you find me? Squishy asked, astonished. Well, we followed your ink, you messy little octopus. Because you inked the whole place. And they kissed, kissed, kissed her on the little forehead. And they hugged, hugged, hugged her with their 16 arms. And they tickled, tickled her itsy little belly. And they told her, we're your mommy and daddy, and we'll always love you, even if you are a messy little octopus. So Squishy, mommy, and daddy went home. Mommy read her green books, daddy played with her checkered chessboard, and Squishy, she painted a beautiful black painting. The house was clean, her painting was inky, and Squishy was happy, happy, happy. Well, that did put her to sleep.
Well, folks, that's about as wholesome as this podcast will ever get, I guarantee it. Tune in next week for our usual menagerie of tasteless fart jokes and dumb puns. Thank you, Matt, for recording that for us. Thank you, Dorothy, for being such a willing audience. I don't know. I think she kind of liked it. Maybe we should give this children's book thing a shot. Does anybody know anybody in the children's book publishing industry? Hit us up on our Twitter, please. Matt and the rest of the Story Boys, me and Will, are going to be returning full force next week, but not this week, baby. Just me at the end here, last man standing, the best story boy. Nobody can take that away from me. Yeah, baby. Speaking of dads, by the way, Dungeons and Daddies, our D&D, not BDSM podcast, hits episode 3 this week, and this is one of my favorite episodes of like anything we've ever done. So if you want to get on board to this live action dice rolling role playing extravaganza featuring myself, Matt Arnold, Will Campos, featuring the Story Boys, as well as Beth May, who's been on a couple of episodes in the past, and video game comic book writer Anthony Birch is our DM. Do check it out. It's Dungeons and Daddies. Make sure if you do search for it that you add podcast at the end of it. This week, thank you to Mitchell Burton for two pieces of excellent fan art. We got a Day After Christmas Boys Back in Town poster and a Pirates of the Caribbean poster with the tagline, some habits are hard to break, and there's like a nun on it and she's got like two pistols. It's pretty rad. You can check that out on our Twitter at RJ Storybreak or our Facebook group bit.ly/storybreakfb. Thank you again for listening, smashing that like, hitting that subscribe button, pushing it to all your friends, doing all the social media influencer stuff with our podcast. Thank you again to MaximumFun.org for having us on their excellent podcast network, which is about to get a lot more excellent because me, I'm Freddie Wong, and my recommendation for this week, I've been digging into a lot of audio drama podcasts as sort of side research for Dungeons and Daddies, and I got hooked on Mission to Zix, which is coming to Maximum Fun, and the third season drops pretty soon here. And you know what? It's a good podcast. Like, I've listened to a lot of audio drama podcasts, and let me tell you, there's some really bad ones out there. Mission to Zix, one of the really funny, really good ones. So that's my recommendation for this week. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
If you're looking for a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network? It won Best Comedy at the British Podcast Awards in 2017 and 2018. Also, ILO.
There were no horses in this country until the mid to late 60s.
Specialist bovine arse vet.
Both of his eyes are squid's eyes.
Yogurt buffet.
She was married to a bacon farmer who saved her life.
Farm-raised
snow leopard.
True.
Download it today. That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast from MaximumFun.org. Also, maybe start at episode 1, or weirdly, episode 36, which for some reason requires no knowledge of the rest of the show.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.